I do have two burdens, and so I'll just jump right in if you don't mind. I want to maybe touch on some things Art said about the relationship between Israel and the church. I think the best way to reach a Gentile heart, and I'm a Gentile, is to let them know it's always been this thing about who is Israel. It's either the Jews or it's either the church. You know what I'm saying? It's always this. It's either replacement theology, we are the Israel God, or it's only the Jews. And it's always been this fight to the death over who Israel is. You know? You understand what I'm saying? And if you can get past that thing, get into their heart that we are part of Israel, and start to restore some of the kinship that has been destroyed by the enemy, I think it might be easier to open the door to the heart. You know, instead of saying, Israel's it, and you got to submit to it, which is basically true. That's not true, but you don't want to affront people on purpose if you can win them a different way. So what I did was I wrote in that booklet that I tried to make it clear beyond all shadow of doubt that we are grafted in. Is anybody familiar with the Messianic Jewish movement here? There's a T-shirt, bumper sticker, cards, anything going around now that says grafted in. You know, do you see that?
No.
It's called grafted in.
Grafted in.
It has a picture of an olive tree or some kind of tree, and it's grafted in. It's a Messianic Jewish statement that we're sort of on the ascendancy and you are grafted in. You know, they're saying you're grafted in. But I don't think that the reality of what that means, all the implications of what it means to be grafted in, has dawned on us or maybe on them either. So, I'll just take you through a few scriptures that are in that book also, but I just want to jump quick through it, if you didn't mind. First one's Ephesians 2:11. Ephesians 2:11. Wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that, I'm using the King James Version, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision, in the flesh made by hands. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. And this is one of the scriptures I read yesterday about the commonwealth of Israel. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to give you a little insight on that, what the Lord gave me about the commonwealth of Israel. The Greek word is politia, and it actually means the national life.
Politia.
I think it's politia. I'm not a Greek scholar.
It's good. Close enough.
It's P-O-L-I-T-E-I-A. And it comes from the Greek word polity, from which we get our English word politics. And it has to do with the national life, the rights of national life, you know, of voting, of participating in national life. And the only other place is used in the whole New Testament, as far as I'm aware, is Acts 22, and that's where Paul was being beat, or getting ready to be beat, because he stirred up such a fuss in Jerusalem. And they're going to inquire what happened, and he says to the guard, I'm a Roman citizen. You know, you don't have to be doing this to me. And he goes to get the captain. The captain says, are you a Roman citizen? And he says, yes. And the captain says, with a great sum of money, obtained I this freedom. That word freedom is politia. And it's synonymous with citizenship. He purchased his citizenship, the Roman citizenship, a lot of money, cost a lot of money. And that's synonymous with freedom. When you're a Roman citizen, you're also free. So when Paul says that we have been made part of the politia of Israel, he's not talking about the spiritual body of Christ as some ethereal thing or something that you can't grip. It's a literal people, a literal land, a literal nation. And see, the doctors of the law and stuff, they take all the promises that are spiritual, apply salvation, going to heaven and Gentile heaven, and say, yes, we like them. But anything that has to do with the literal land, literal people, the literal promises, no one has nothing to do with it. That's for the Jews or the Christians. You know, the Jews take care of themselves, but the church take care of itself. You know? So what the Lord was showing, like I gave you these two scriptures here just to give you a little insight. It was Luke 15:15. Paul says, in the parable of the prodigal son, it says he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed swine. That word citizen is polity. It comes from the same Greek root. So you're talking about the same thing. Another one is in Acts 21:39 when Paul says, he was a Jew of Tarsus, he says, but Paul said, I am a man, which am a Jew of Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, a citizen, polities, of no mean city. So I'm just trying to say that the polities, the politia, that whole thing is a natural, literal thing. It was never used in the New Testament anywhere in a mystical sense, to mean the mystical body of Christ. You know, so when people come to this, they say, oh, you're made part of the commonwealth of Israel. That means you're all made part of the body of Christ. Well, no, that's not what it means. It means you're made part of the commonwealth of Israel. You know what I mean? So, and the other one was, a Greek term was sun polities, which is a compound Greek term. It means the same thing as a citizenship. I'm not going to go into that. It's the same thing. A fellow citizen of the natural, literal land. You know? And for me, that's just, that was exciting, you know, when the Lord showed that to me. It's because I always assumed it was sort of spiritualized my burden is that not only the Gentiles but also the Messianic Jews or you know anybody just gets what I want to present to you is a question basically like and a start a search. I don't want to start a discussion or anything. I just want to start a search on your behalf of what it means. What are the ramifications to be part of the nation of Israel? You know what I'm saying? Dan Jester, who I quoted in one of my other books, sort of has this concept where the purpose of the church is to pray Israel into its proper place and function, and then after that, like, the church is it. You don't hear anything more about the church. You know, it's all Israel, ruling nations and all that, and everything himself. So what I want to do is, I feel God, if the time is close, I feel God wants to show us more and more of how this relationship is going to work once Israel's been brought back in. Does anybody understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, it's the church and Israel are destined to converge. A real convergence. I mean, we're not talking about a spiritual up here and natural down here. I mean, there's going to be a real convergence somehow of the church and Israel. Just like there's going to be a real convergence of the natural and material realms. Heaven's coming to earth. The kingdom of God is coming to earth. And there's going to be a real convergence there. So what I'm looking for is some insight as we go on is how that's going to work, how they're going to operate together, you know. Mm-hmm. And with what I'm getting so far from people is yeah, the church's destiny is to get Israel back in this place, and the church is like crawls into the woodwork, you know. And that's not true. I guarantee it's not true. I don't know what is true though. So what I would just encourage you all to do is ask the Lord in the coming days to show you. And me, I'm doing because I don't have any answers. I'm presenting a question. Mm-hmm. I don't have any answers. If you have answers, you know, correct me or whatever, you know, but I'm sure you'll give them. But there is a real connecting is going to happen. You know, mm-hmm. This real connecting is going to happen. There is no such thing as a Gentile church. There is no such thing as a Gentile heaven. There is no such thing as a Gentile paradise. Mm-hmm. Everything is going to be going on in this earth, this planet. Mm-hmm. And where I don't want to obliterate totally the distinction between, you know, the nation of Israel church, there is a real union that's going to happen, you know. So I just want to present that to you. Let's go to Romans 11:7. I'll just go through this quick, just to. I don't want to. I mean, I'm very. Not only nervous because it's my first time speaking, but more so, even more so, I don't want to waste time here in this conversation. You know what I'm saying?
It's good. You're doing good.
You know. So. 11:7 is. Is 11:7? No. 11:17, I'm sorry.
11:17.
Yeah. Just talking about the olive tree. The Lord gave me sort of a little insight. I think it's insight, I'm not sure. Anyway, he's talking about the olive tree and the branches are broken off, branches are put on. He said, if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree, were grafted among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, both not against the branches, and so on. What I want to kind of focus on is, it says, partakers of the root and fatness. What I want to know is, what is that root and fatness? You know, it's something that the Jewish people have been partaking of. It's theirs. But we have also been given that same root and fatness. We've been grafted in the same tree. We've been made part of the same commonwealth. So it's more than just a cliche or more than just some ethereal thing. We're part of Israel. You know, and I'm trying to get the reality of that to in my book to punch people with it when they read it, you know, they can't just chuck it off and say, "Oh, you know, it's just your opinion." Mm-hmm. Romans 9:4-5. I just want to give you a little hint of what that is, what some of what that is, or what that fatness constitutes. It says, Let me start three. For I could wish myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants, and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God bless forever. Amen. Those things that pertain to them pertain to us. The fathers are our fathers. Abraham is our father. You know, you have a book out, Our Father Abraham. You know, the adoption is our adoption. That's, and that's one of the things the Lord gave me on sonship. I wrote that little book on sonship. That has to do with the adoption of sonship, of mature saints coming to a place they're formally set in as God's sons, and they're set over creation. Mm-hmm. And so what applies to the natural branches, what was theirs all along, from time immemorial, from time God called Abraham, we have been grafted into. We're full partakers of it. We're part of the same tree. You know, spiritual promises, natural promises, whatever. I believe we're part of the same tree, and everything applies to us. I don't know how exactly, but I believe it does. And so what I got a picture of was, if you can picture an olive tree, you picture the olive tree. I had graphics. I brought graphics down here, you know, on a little, what do you call those things, overhead projectors, and I had all nice color and everything. I thought we were going to have it down at the other meeting hall, you know, and I knew you had a projector down there for songs and stuff. But anyway, I had these graphics, but they're in that book, so it doesn't matter. You picture an olive tree, and some of the branches are broken off, some are grafted in. You got the Jewish branches, and you got the Gentile branches that are grafted in. And then here comes, at the end of the age, you got national Israel, which is broken off the olive tree. It was their tree, originally. The whole tree was Israel. It was national Israel. The branches were Jewish, the stock was Jewish, the root was even Jewish as pertaining to flesh. Okay? And so you got this olive tree, which I believe is the Israel of God, and it was the nation. In the beginning, it was the whole nation. It was all Jews. That's all it was. It was the nation of Israel. Well, the nation of Israel is broken off. That's broken off the altar. So and then the elect Gentiles are grafted in. But then the age, you got the situation where the national Israel is grafted back in. So my question was, what is the tree going to look like? Yeah. What is the tree going to look like? Is it going to be, is the Israel of God, that olive tree, you got Gentile branches on there and Jewish branches, and then you got the national Israel. Right now, until national Israel is grafted back in, the olive tree is an invisible spiritual entity. As far as I see, it has no material manifestation. All its material components, which is comprised of the Commonwealth, have been cut off, and they're still cut off. And when they get grafted in, then you're going to have the natural Israel grafted in back to the spiritual entity. And what's it going to be? You're going to have Gentile branches on it, Jewish branches on it. You're going to have the nation of Israel back on it. So that the Lord's getting a picture of something that's going to be converged here, and it's going to be bigger than what most people are thinking. That's all. Mm. That's all. I just want to encourage people to seek revelation of how that's going to come about. Well, what, not as much how it's going to come about, everybody pretty much knows, but what it's going to look like after it comes about. Jesus. What is Israel God going to look like? International has been granted back in, and all the elect have been made one, and the kingdom's coming to earth, and everything's happening in Jerusalem, and you know, what's it going to look like? So that's my first burden, was to just encourage everybody to sort of ask God, because as time draws near, I believe He wants to show us and give us some answers for people. Has anybody ever thought of what the Israel of the olive tree looked like after the branches were grafted on, or has anybody ever any?
I'm looking at John 10:16. Jesus says, now the sheep I have, which are not of this fold,
right.
But she was talking to Jews at the time,
right.
And we are the mother branches, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd.
Right.
So I see it, and I don't think this has ever really been fulfilled in history, really.
Right.
Maybe to some extent.
To some extent.
But to the fullness of what Jesus actually meant by this is actually going to be what you're talking about at the end. We become one fold with one shepherd. And I don't know that there will be much distinction.
Well, I don't want to get into that too much. Yeah. I just want to pose the question, you know, because I have my ideas, but I have no idea if it's from the Lord or not. And I don't want to put stuff out there. I'm not sure it's from the Lord. But there is a real joining. And when that gets made real in your spirit, that equips you to take a strong stand and to not just say, well, I think the church in Israel are going to be one someday. I'm not sure, but it enables you to just stand up like a rod. Say, this is what's happening. You're not going to Gentile heaven. If you go to Gentile heaven, you'll be alone, because Jesus is going to be on earth. The saints are going to be on earth. The new Jerusalem is going to be, everything's happening on earth. You know, the kingdom is coming to earth. And this thing about everybody going to heaven and staying in heaven and being a Gentile heaven on top of that has to be broken in people's minds so they can get the picture of the convergence. When Adam was in the garden, the material realm and the spiritual realm, there was no distinction. There was a one thing happening. God walked in the garden. You go back in Genesis, read all the stuff there. You can see there was one realm. It was one thing happening. Sin not only made Adam fall and brought death and all the things that we know, it also put a veil over all the nations. It separated the natural realm from the spiritual realm, so you can't see what's going on there, and they're separated until the millennium, basically, as far as I know. So what else I saw was the scripture only speaks of one royal priesthood. Whatever your view of Israel is on that and the restoration of natural Israel, I think it's got to be put in that light. There is only one priesthood. And somehow the Jewish component of that priesthood and the Gentile, granted in component of that priesthood, is going to be functioning on earth together. I don't know how. Again, I don't know how. I'm not here to answer questions. I'm here to ask. You know, just to sort of set your mind on a train and get the revelation. And if you get it right, let me know, please. Basically, that was my first burden, okay? Let me get my other paper out here. I'm not going to read a bunch of scriptures I had. I had a bunch of scriptures for the royal priesthood, but I'm not going to go through them all. But you just look at all the things that go through the scripture and call yourself and just look and see all the things that God promised his elect and what they're going to be doing. And just know they're not going to be doing it in heaven. They're going to be doing it on earth. And they're going to be doing it from Jerusalem. Well, somebody's going to do it from Jerusalem. Zion is both a people and a place. And I think when the millennium comes and the realms are brought together, what you're going to have is a literal city of Zion, which people are going to come to. But you're also going to have a company of Zion, and wherever they are, that's where Zion is. You know, there's going to be nations on the earth. There's going to be people everywhere in those nations guiding them. So in a sense, Zion is worldwide. You know, it's a people. It's worldwide. But also, there's a literal center of the kingdom, which is in Jerusalem. So without further ado, let me go on to my second thing here.